Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily, and today we are recapping the Season 6 premiere of Once Upon a Time, because it is finally back, and we're so excited. At least I'm excited. I don't know if Emily's excited. Emily, are you excited?
Of course, I'm always excited about Once Upon a Time, regardless of what actually transpires in the show. I always am excited about it.
So, first off, are you an Aladdin fan?
In general or on the show?
In general.
Oh,
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
I would say, you know, I enjoyed Aladdin as a kid. I don't know if it was my favorite movie per se, but I mean, I definitely like enjoyed watching it.
Okay. So you're kind of like, meh.
I wasn't like, oh my God, like when they brought, like, in terms of, like, reaction based on, like, other characters they brought in. Like, when they brought in Cruella de Vil or, like, Merida, I, like, flipped out. This was more of kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm excited to see what they do with it, but I wasn't like, oh, my God. Like, so, yeah. I'm, like, in the...
Yeah. Well, I have a confession. I never watched Aladdin in full because I couldn't get through it as a child. So, a lot of my Once Our friends are very upset with me. they're staging an Aladdin intervention.
so. I would say it's worth the watch, you know, mostly for Robin Williams, but I mean, it's a good movie.
I'll get to it eventually, one of these days. Hopefully soon, so I know what's happening.
I think it's back up on DVD right now, so you might actually be able to get it from like a movie store.
Great.
Because I think it's the special edition anniversary. I just saw it at the store like today, so.
Perfect. It's meant to be. It's really meant to be. So we start out with Jafar, who they have changed, but I'm okay with the change because I love that guy. And I can't remember what his name is because I'm horrible with names, but he's from The Mummy, and The Mummy is awesome.
And not just because of the ride at Universal.
Exactly. But also that. But also because of the ride at Universal. Yeah, so we find out that Aladdin is the savior. And he's got some issues. I don't really know what to call him. It left us with a lot more questions than answers, I think. Which, obviously, it's setting up for the season, so that would make sense. Really? What were your initial thoughts on that whole scene and the whole saviors do not live happily ever after?
I mean... To be honest, at first, well, when the episode started, this sounds bad, but since I'd already seen what I thought I had seen, you know, most of the scene, because they showed it from Comic-Con, I was kind of like, okay, I've seen this. And then all of a sudden, I realized I think I missed, like, the whole him being all doom and gloom to Aladdin, like, you're never going to have a happy ending because saviors are doomed, and the whole twitchy hand thing, like, because all of a sudden, Emma was, like, twitching out, and I was like, where'd this come from? And then I realized that I just kind of got my eyes kind of glazed over the fact that it was like, that's like a big thing that they were trying to set up, and I totally was not paying attention. but now that I have gone back and like assessed that, I mean, I think it obviously they're trying to set like a tone with that, and then obviously it connects to something later, which then is going to play out the whole season. I don't know. I feel like Jafar, you know, obviously he's evil, so he is going to latch on to the bad part, and he's going to make it seem like there's no hope, you know, nothing good is ever going to happen, which I think that's probably an over-exaggeration. I'm sure there's a way around it. It's just
we don't over-exaggerate on this show. What are you talking about? What?
Things are never over-exaggerated on this show. So that's what I think. I think, obviously, he's, like, going to play up the bad part of it, but I think that there's an underlying, like, way around this whole, like, everyone's doomed if you're a savior, like, so you're gonna help others before yourself, and you're never gonna be happy. Like, I think that that's what this season is gonna be about. It's about balancing how do you help everyone else be happy and make yourself happy at the same time. Because, yeah, obviously, like, we know. Emma clearly needs to figure that out, because...
Yeah, just a little bit. First off, let me just say, Mr. Hyde. Hello, Mr. Hyde. Even though he sounds like Bane, which I'm okay with.
He does.
I am in love with Mr. Hyde. I want all the hide scenes, like, give me all, like, I'm just so excited to see more of Hyde. I think he's just delicious. He's so just evil and...
I just like how, like, slow he talks. It's just funny to me. He's all, like, he's trying to be this, like, Shakespearean-sounding, like, dude. And I'm like, I just gotta laugh, but I do enjoy it.
It works, though, for him. Like, it works because he's
like drawl, and I'm like, I'm intrigued by this. Like, yes. I want to hear more. And I like am confused at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Because when Emma starts having her, like flashbacks and tremors, and then he knows exactly what's happening. So I want to know how he knows what's happening. And does he know Aladdin, or is it because does he know another savior that they haven't introduced yet? Like, how many saviors are there? Like, is it just Aladdin and Emma? Like, he hinted that there was more than that, but...
He's in cahoots with Jafar. Like, part of me, just that's what I feel like. Because there's no way, like, they're going to bring in Aladdin at the same time as this guy. And he somehow knows all this stuff about saviors and whatnot. And then that they're not going to be connected. Everything's connected on this show, so I feel like there's, like, no way that they're not going to be connected. Either that or Hyde, obviously, like, being the warden in the Land of Untold Stories for who knows how long, because we don't really know the rules of that land. Like, if it's, like, Neverland, where time... Because they say that's where you go to pause your story. Well, how do you pause your story if you're going to keep getting older?
Exactly.
So I feel like there's got to be some kind of time warp or suspension or something, because there's no way that... Like, you could pause the telling of your story, and then you're just going to live out the rest of your life and die. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It's not fun. So, part of me feels like he either saw another savior, like, a savior fled to the Land of Untold Stories because they didn't want to meet their fate of, like, apparently doom and gloom, or that Aladdin fled to the Land of Untold Stories with Jasmine or whoever, because it's, like, he wanted to be able to be happy and not have to save everyone all the time, and so I think that's probably how it's gonna come together, but who knows.
I like that a lot. That's a good theory. You always have the good ones.
I do.
Yeah, so I want more of Hyde. And then when him and Emma went to talk to him, can we just talk about the chemistry that they had? Like, this is what happens when you put two amazing actors in one room together. Like, it was just, oh, they were so good together. I was like, I need more of this. It's so, like, twisted, but yet I feel like they still kind of have that little, not like a connection, but like an understanding, because he's like, I know that caged look, and she's like, well, I know you'll be lonely or whatever, and I was like, ooh. Yeah,
they definitely know how to, like, look into each other and, like, see the weaknesses in each other, because they've seen it in other people, so it's, like, easy for them to identify, like, with the other person. So yeah, it definitely was interesting to see, like, yeah, how she literally just plopped down, like, right next to him, like there was, like, no, like, she wasn't timid. Maybe she was just trying to appear, like, not afraid of him, so she got, like, up in his grill and, like, didn't want him to think that she was scared, which she clearly was. Obviously, when we saw when he jumped at her, she kind of freaked out. But yeah, it was just like they had this weird kind of, like, almost, like, comfort in talking to him, which is weird. Yeah, I definitely hope to see more of that, because I feel like he will help unravel her, like, you know, insecurities and everything else, and hopefully then that will lead to her confiding in other people, hopefully.
Some better people, maybe.
Keep it all bottled up forever. And
can Hyde just be her therapist from now on? Like,
well, we all give
Archie some run for his money.
We all know who really should be her therapist. Let's be real. All she needs to do is get back to that couch, and then she can have some real therapy.
Oh my god, yes. That couch scene.
There aren't words for that couch scene.
There aren't. I mean, I've watched it since that was one of the sneak peeks, obviously, and it was all over everywhere. There was no avoiding it, and I've watched it I don't even know how many times, and... Like, I'm still like, did that actually happen on the show? Like, this is...
I know, right?
Actually happened.
Like, doesn't feel real. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, gotta watch it, because it's not real. Like,
yeah.
Fake. It's gonna go away. nope, it's real and it happened.
The only thing I don't like about them releasing sneak peeks like that is that if that was on the show, that was one of the scenes that they could have kept secret because there were no spoiler pictures. It was filmed inside. Like, no one knew about this. And I feel like the impact of that actually happening without us having the sneak peek and, like, being able to, like, prepare for seeing it, like, on TV, like, I feel everyone would have literally died. And I would have rather have had that reaction. Like,
yeah, I feel that
being
too.
Being blindsided by it versus getting the sneak peek, like, a week ahead of time.
Yeah, I also think that they probably did it because, I mean, I'm sure it's probably, I don't know whose decision it is to release what they release. I'm sure it's ABC and not the Adam in them, but I feel like the reason they did it was maybe because all of the interviews leading up to that point was all you could hear was how Emma was going to kind of, there was going to be this big secret that was going to, like, be a big wall between her and Hook and all this stuff, and, like, people were getting worried about it, so they were like, okay, well, here you go, like, here's proof that it's in, things are gonna be bad but they're okay at the same time. Like, I don't know, I feel like they want it, maybe they knew that if they posted that it was gonna get everyone excited to the point where it was like they did it as a way to hopefully bring people
they
in.
They baited us.
Well, yeah,
it was a great bait.
they wanted us to sit there and think, oh, well, what if that's not the whole scene? What if there was more? Like, what if it continues on later? Like, they wanted to bait people into watching and figuring it out. So I mean, I get why they did it. I do agree that I wish, but then again, I go back to, like, the Neverland kiss, and I'm like, when I saw those pictures, I lost it, and I did not care that that was, like, the hugest moment, and I, like, did not care that I knew about it, like, 2 weeks before, because I was so, I remember the exact moment and place I was when I saw those pictures. Like, that's how much it affected me. I was literally in the car on the way to my cousin's rehearsal dinner. Like, I, like, could remember the exact moment. Like, it just was so, it blew my
mind. I wasn't so in the fandom yet. I wasn't watching it yet when that happened. So, like, I caught up right to when I think it was, like, 3/7 was happening.
Okay.
So, right, I missed the excitement.
Yeah, like, I'm still kind of in shock that they even released those pictures to begin with, but like I said, it's smart on their part, because they know how excited people were going to get, that it's going to pull, they're hoping to pull in as many people as they can to watch live and watch the episode, so they're going to pull out their big guns, obviously. They're not going to, like, tuck things away. And especially with this episode, I feel like the reason they showed it was because they couldn't really show much else, because they always show things that are, like, not spoilery, really. It's more just, like, fluffy things on the side, kind of. And the rest of the episode was, like, so, like, there were so many monumental things, I felt like, that happened. Like, this whole, like, Emma's doom and gloom prophecy thing, and Rumple and Belle, the whole dream thing. Like, we saw one of the sneak peeks was, like, Rumple going into the dream world, but we didn't see, like, her Belle's dream, and obviously that whole part was, like, huge. So I feel like they give you, like, the tiniest sliver of, like, the parts that don't really give anything away, and then if the things they're giving away are within the first, like, 10 minutes of the episode, then the rest of the episode is probably crazy, because it's like they couldn't give anything away later than 10 minutes in. So it was like, okay, well, this is what we got.
Going back to Emma and Hook and, like, the big secret thing, he knows the entire time that she's lying to him, but he lets her do it because he knows he doesn't want to push her, but the fact, like, he is so hurt. Like, his face is so hurt that she's putting her walls back up. Like, they just got back from hell, and it just, like, it hurts me that he's hurt and that Emma feels like she can't trust him, but at the same time, I feel like her whole prophecy thing, I feel like that she doesn't want to burden him with it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he just got back from the underworld and now he might lose her too.
Yeah. I think that that's definitely the biggest part of it, is, like, it's not that she doesn't trust him at all. Like, she trusts him too much. Like, I think that's why she's not telling him, because if like, she knows him so well. Like, she knows that, like, at the tiny, well, Emma's first instinct is always to carry the burden herself. Like, she's not one to let other people help her. Like, she has, like, it's her fight and she has to do it alone, which she's so, like, charming in that aspect, which
yeah, I
feel
just
like this
about to say
thing,
that it's a parallel.
This whole thing is such a huge parallel to Neverland.
Yes,
where, like, charming got Jade and he didn't tell anybody, and then he finally told Hook, and, like, then it was like Hook was trying to convince him to do the right thing, and he was like, no, like, I don't want them to, like, sit around and think about how they're gonna save my life. Like, they need to focus on them. Like, I don't want to make it about me. So I feel like that's Emma's whole thing right now, is that she doesn't, like, obviously she's, like, her powers or her tremors or whatever they are, it's, like, freaking her out. And so, like, she feels vulnerable, so her first instinct, obviously, is to, like, retreat back in, even though, like, her walls are down and she's, like, free and emotional with everybody. Like, there's still, like, that, you know, scared kind of instinct of hers to, like, protect, you know, put the armor back on and stuff. So I feel like, obviously, I don't think the secret part of it, they're not going to draw it out. Like, it's not going to be, like, Charming, where it was for, even that was only, like, 3 episodes. It wasn't that long. It felt a long time, but it wasn't really that long. So I feel like they're not going to draw it out so much. I feel like, obviously, the nuts and bolts of, like, the vision are going to be drawn out. But the whole secret part, I don't think they're going to have it be, like, this episode, next episode. Like, by the third episode, I feel like they're going to have that little, someone's going to find out about it. Hook's going to be betrayed or whatever, and then he's going to get over it, and then they're going to try and figure out a way to fix it. Like, that's how I feel this is going to play out, but who knows? But I hope they don't try and drag it out too much, because that would be weird.
I agree. But at the same time, we're not doing a double season this year. Like,
true. But that's why I think the secret itself is going to get revealed sooner rather than later, and then the rest of it is going to play out, like, longer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, the secret is going to cause angst for, like, the short term, and then, like, between her and Hook, and then Hook, you know, her and her parents, I guess. But then once they get over that, then it's going to be more of, like, okay, now we got to turn and be on the defensive. Like, how are we going to fix this? Like, how is this going to, like, what does this mean? Like, all the different things, and Hyde, I'm sure, is going to have something to do with it, and Jafar and whoever else, because I'm still convinced this whole prophecy thing is all Jafar's fault in one way or another. I don't think that there's just this random oracle for no reason that's like, oh yeah, let me just, like, prophesize to you, like, in the woods. Like, I feel like she was brought there by somebody, whoever, if it was Hyde, if it was Jafar, if it was...
Or it is Jafar.
Oh yeah, that too.
And it's just like a glamour spell or whatever.
Yep. Because it's the same oracle that was... It's the same girl that was a little Aladdin. And so it's either Jafar has her captive and is making her do... Like, he used his, you know... you've never seen Aladdin, but...
Oh, sorry.
Jafar has, a scepter with a serpent on it, and he can hypnotize people with it.
Oh,
so
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if he has her either in, like, a trance and is, like, making her do what he wants, or he is, like, pretending to be her. I'm gonna go with probably the hypnotizing her, because that's...
Yeah, because that'll tie in his...
Like, Korra-y. Like, the glamour spell is a total Korra thing, so I feel like the Jafar thing is gonna be some kind of hypnosis to tie in the character more. And then the whole red bird thing, like, that's just too much of a coincidence. Like,
the bird was with Aladdin.
Yeah. And then in Aladdin, like, in the movie, Jafar's sidekick is this, like,
Iago.
Little parrot. Yeah.
Gilbert Godfrey. I know a little bit, okay?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the intensity of your Aladdin knowledge. Explain things. Yeah, I think that oracle is definitely, like, obviously it's not a coincidence, because nothing ever is. I feel like she was planted there on purpose.
And the fact that Hyde was like, follow the red bird.
Follow the red bird, okay.
Follow, like, the red bird. Like, his Bane voice, I can't do it, but.
Yeah, I can't even, I'm not even gonna try.
I definitely am not buying it at all. I ain't buying what you selling, Adam and Eddie.
I know. They're like, oh, here's this prophecy. This random girl is going to be like, you're about to die. And it's like, really, though? Are you sure? part of me feels like if we're going back to her being paralleled with Charming, which happens all the time because her and Charming are like,
I know.
Part of me thinks that my friend said this to me. He's like, what if Emma's fighting herself? And I'm like, well, that could be true because they said the whole point of this season was to like reflect on your light and dark and like face them head on. So I'm like, okay, well, clearly Emma, like hero Emma, is like trying to save her family and put everyone else before herself. But then the darkness is like, no, like think of yourself first. And she's like, I'm not going to let you hurt them. So part of me feels like that whole vision part is just, there's something off about it, because if that was like a, if that really was a glimpse into the future, there's no way that Hook and Charming and Snow would run up to her fighting someone alone and not do something.
And just sit there. Exactly.
They would not just sit there. So part of me feels like it's like Emma's worst fears being realized, that she's trying to save her family and like she has to do it alone. And that's why like her trying to do everything alone is what's going to be like her downfall, mm-hmm. which is what she has to learn, that she can like rely on other people and like share the burden, which I feel like is what the other saviors before her probably didn't do. They probably thought, it's all on me. I can't ask for help because I'm the savior. I'm supposed to do it. Like, so I feel like that's what they're trying to set up, that like there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Don't have to do it alone. Like,
yeah, I was seeing that theory a lot on Tumblr about how she's fighting herself, and I like that. But I'm also like, I want another villain. Like, give me another badass villain, please.
I'm like, part of me feels like it's hard because I'm like, I want to think that the vision is more figurative than literal, but then I'm like, okay, but then the way they're talking about it is like they're making it seem like, oh, it's someone that we. Well, then again, I guess it's trickery with words. They say could be someone new, or it could be someone we've already met. So in that regard,
I'm going to be pissed if it's the Evil Queen, because well, I feel yeah. like that would be such a cop-out.
Well, yeah, that I saw that too. Someone's like, what if it's Regina? I'm like, or not Regina, but like the Evil Queen. And I'm like, really?
It's such a cop-out.
No, like, let's not have it.
If Emma does die, can we please have a trip to the underworld again? So and this time, it's Cruella and Arthur. Like,
we're running the show. Yes, because that's all I want is to see the two of them again.
I need a spinoff. Underworld. Once upon a time, Underworld. Please.
That would honestly be the best thing, because I'm just, you know, so obsessed
so with sass. The two of them.
So I just
and the blind witch. I love her, too. Like, yes. Everyone that's there, I love.
Basically. And then they can rescue Mila from the River of Lost Souls. That still needs to happen.
Don't get me going on that.
All right.
I'll go on a full-blown rant about Mila.
True. Anyway.
So, Zelina moved in with Regina, with the baby, and their relationship's so weird to me now. Like, I get that they had, like, a moment, but the fact that they're acting like normal sisters, it just feels way too rushed. And the fact that Zelina's like, I can't believe you, like, went to, like, Snow White instead of me. I'm your sister. I'm like, yeah, but for, like, the
She's
past 2 years.
Like, for 20, 30 years at this point. Like,
yeah, and they've made amends, whereas the past, basically the whole time you've known Regina, y'all been trying to kill each other. So it's like, why are you surprised here? Like, there's no trust here. And you lost the feather.
Yeah. I feel like everything surrounding, like, Regina's, like, anything is, like, always put on, like, hyperspeed. Like I was saying, like, one time, I feel like to you, I don't know, probably, that, like, it's when I was rewatching the show last month, because that's what I do every time a new season comes out. I was just looking back, and I'm like, her progression, like, maybe it was more on Henry's side, like, his progression from being, like, I hate you, and I don't want to be with you, and, like, you're evil, and blah, went from, like, that to, oh my god, but wait, you're my mom, and I love you, in, like, 2 seconds. And I'm like, okay, is this real speed, or, like, hyperspeed?
And even Outlaw Queen, like, I love Outlaw Queen, but that was so rushed.
I know, I was like, her whole relationship with Robin came out of, like, nowhere, and it was just, like, it was, like, 0 to 60 in, you know, 2 seconds flat, like, and then it got ripped away so fast. Like, I feel like that's what they do, is they, like, accelerate things with her so then they can break it down right away. And, like, because it's not like with, like, Hook and Emma, we're so, so, so long form, drawn out, like,
slow burn.
Slow burn. And then, like, everything that happens with Regina in terms of, like, relationships or like anything, it's, like, it's, yeah, it's literally so quick. And I don't understand if it's because they're trying to, like,
honestly, I feel like it's almost like there's just too many stories that they're trying to do at once. Which is why I'm so happy that we're getting rid of the split season. Because I feel like that was a big problem with it.
Yeah, they always were trying to have the next big hook, like, oh yeah, like, we're going to Neverland, or we're going here. Like, they wanted to end every half season on this big note of, like, we're going off on this crazy new adventure. And obviously that worked, and then it didn't work, I assume. So, whatever made them decide that. And I just like that someone pointed out that this was the first episode in who knows how long that there were, aside from the very first scene, there were no flashbacks at all. It was just pure, like, things that were going on in real time, like motion moving forward, which I thought was a, like, a happy change. Like, I didn't, like...
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of season one almost, even though I know we got a lot of flashbacks in season one, but we progressed a lot faster in season one, I think, like, mm-hmm. timeline-wise.
Yeah, when I try and think about, like, how long it's been since season one, if you did, like, the math, it's really only been, like...
3 years or something.
3 years at best. Yeah. It's, like, 6 seasons later. Like, they were on very, like, slow... Every half season is only, like, 3 months of the timeline, and it's like, okay, like, this is very drawn out, for good reason a lot of the time, but, you know, I just like that, yeah, I'm sure give it, you know, next week, the week after, they're going to dive back into flashbacks and flashbacks that connect to the main story and whatever, but it was nice to kind of have that.
Yeah, break. A nice change of pace. So, as much as I hate myself, I got sucked into the Rumbell again. I did. Oh. I got sucked in so hard. And
because of Beauty and the Beast stuff, because you're such a sucker. That.
I am trash. Oh,
you're Beauty and the Beast trash.
I am, and they fixed her dress and her hair, and they had the music for more than 2 seconds, and it was so pretty. And
then remember that Rumple's a terrible person, and it all came down.
It did. I was Belle. I was basically Belle.
The illusion was shattered very quickly.
It was. Oh, it was, like, I wanted to, I was a Rumbell shipper, and then it went to hell, and, but anyways, I loved, this is the first episode that I loved Rumbell in a long time, and the fact that she was like, bye Felicia, I'm leaving you, I'm listening to our kid,
the whole Morpheus thing.
Yeah.
So many people were so blown out of the water. They thought that was such a huge plot twist. And I was like, I'm not going to take credit for it. I definitely saw it somewhere. But someone was like, wouldn't be surprised if that's their kid, like, grown up. And I'm like, yep, that's probably what it is. Because how else is she going to wake up? Like, there's no other way.
Yeah. Well, the guy they cast for him, he looks like a young Robert Carlyle. Like,
yeah.
A lot. Like, he has the same, like, eyes and nose and everything. So I was like, huh, now that I'm looking at him, this makes sense. But I was like, what? This is crazy.
I just liked that it was like, you know, of course, he's like, well, no, I love her so much, and I'm going to make her fall in love with me. And I'm like, okay, listen here, buddy. Like,
I ignored that part.
First. Because you were like, oh my god, Beauty and the Beast.
Like, nostalgia.
Honestly, I've never been really all that fazed by their relationship at all. I don't know what it is, but I just never have been, like, I didn't mind it in the beginning. I was like, oh, that's cute. But I never was like, oh my god. So, I've always been able to be very partial with everything that happens with them. And regardless of, like, you know, the cute little nods to, like, the original movie and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was more like, okay, like, you're a big pretender, and the fact that you're, like,
when the room changed from, like, all dark and gloomy to, like, what it normally was, I was like, okay, Belle, are you really falling for this? I mean, I guess it's your dreams and you can't help it.
Which was, like, the movie when she kisses him and then everything gets back to normal.
Yep. And then I was like, okay, it's got to hit the fan eventually. So when it finally did, and when he was like, don't fall for his tricks again. And when she's like, this has happened before, I was like, oh my God, finally.
Yes, I will say I was very proud of Belle. As much as I love the Beauty and the Beast shoutouts, I'm like, you go, Belle, you tell him. Like, don't take this crap. You walk away.
Especially when Morpheus, or I don't even know, like, part of me, I'm like, was her son, was it, like, just in the dream world her son took the incarnation of this Morpheus dude, or is that actually him? Because I'm very confused.
He was pretending to be him.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So, I'm guessing. Oh, he was their son pretending to be Morpheus. So, like, that's actually what their son looked like, but that's not his name.
Yes. Okay.
That was where I was confused. I'm like, correct. So is that he not going to look like that, or is he going to look like that?
Well, he'll probably still look like that, but, I mean, the way that this show progresses, it'll have to be season 52 by the time we see him at that age.
True, obviously, unless there's going to be some way that they're going to, like,
magically age you. Okay.
Anyway. So when she finally was like, okay, like, and then he woke, their son woke her up, I was like, the fact that her first thing out of her mouth was like, I'm gonna listen to the warning that our son gave me, and I'm not gonna trust you. I was like, thank you, like, like, seriously, like, I mean, I want Belle to be happy, I want all the good things for Belle, because I feel like
Will needs to come back, and...
Well, yeah, well, that's just a whole nother story, that's not...
Justice for Will Scarlet!
We could be here all week if we tried to dive into that, but I just feel like, at this point, I can't root, like... for anything good to come of her with Rumple, because I just feel...
No, I am never, ever rooting for Rumple ever again. Ever.
Yeah. I feel like, obviously,
he's burned every bridge four times over, and, then he, like, peed on it, like, no, you're done.
Yeah. So, at this point, I'm, like, more interested, concerned, I guess, how now that she's awake, and she's gonna be, like, pregnant for real... Even though, ironically, they put her to sleep, right. She was pregnant in real life, and now that she's gonna have a fake baby bump, it's just kind of a funny coincidence. But I feel like it's gonna be interesting to see, I guess, what she's gonna do, and how she's gonna try, because she's not gonna completely ice Rumple out, because, like, that's her child's father, and she's not gonna want her kid to grow up without a father like he did, and, you know, his father, whatever, like, the whole line of just repeating itself over and over again. So I feel like she's gonna, I don't know, I just feel like he's gonna do something that's...
I feel like it needs to be, like, he needs to not be around this kid.
True. In the perfect world, that's what it would be, but I feel like...
If you think about it, everyone in the line that has been raised by someone in that family... has been, like, a mess. Like, Rumple was a mess because Peter Pan was a mess. Then he raised Bellfire, and he was a mess. And he was absent in Henry's life, and Henry's okay. So...
Yeah, true.
I think Rumple needs to stay away from his child.
That family line. The males of that family line do not...
They need to stop. But, we got some closure with Robin, somewhat-ish. More than what I was expecting we would get.
The fact that they actually mentioned his name more than once, unlike certain people who have died on this show.
Yes. Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about the whole Snow and, like, Regina thing, but I do like how she owned up to being a horrible stepmother.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. I'm here for that. I'm here for Regina... actually taking ownership for her mistakes and not deflecting them on other people.
What still pisses me off is in the conversation, she's like, when the evil queen was trying to kill me, I'm like, they are the same person.
Let's not mince words. They are the same person, and just because they are separate now does not make them any less the same person, because, like, okay, it's one of those, like, things where it's, like, all, like, Regina is always the evil queen, but the evil queen isn't Regina. Like,
yeah.
You know, the split-off evil queen is not Regina, but Regina is still the evil queen. Like, that's not...
It just makes me so mad that she doesn't, like, that they've written it to where she doesn't own up to her mistakes. She just blames it on the evil queen and, you know.
Like, oh, this dark side of me. It would be like if Rumple was like, oh, the dark one
is the reason. Yeah, exactly.
Which he kind of does, which I feel like he does.
Not to the extent that Regina does.
I think he owns up to, he at least owns up to being terrible.
Yeah, like, he literally, I think he said at one point, like, I'm a horrible person.
He's like, I like being bad.
Yeah, so, like, he owns up to it. Whereas Regina, she wants this happy ending and the shortcut. Like, she wants to find the author to write her happy ending, and she wants all these shortcuts, and, like, it's just not a good redemption arc. It just doesn't, and then she's like, oh, the evil queen did this. Like, own up to your problems. Own up to
it'd be different if she was like, me being the evil queen is like the reason this and this happened, not
exactly.
Oh, the evil queen inside of me, which isn't me, is why this happened.
And then what,
like, if she was really, like, yeah, if she could just own up to the fact that, like, yes, I made the choice, I succumbed to, like, the dark part of me, which was there all along, because, you know, well, she always says, like, evil is, it's not born, it's made, but you have to be, there's some part of you has to be susceptible to that in order for it to actually be made. Like, exactly. There has to be some kind of seed inside of you to then be watered and grow inside of you. So,
exactly.
Whether she likes to admit it or not, there was a tiny bit in her somewhere, and then it just was nurtured and then, you know, grew into what it was. So I feel like, yeah, she needs to stop blame shifting, and so do a lot of other people, obviously. They can't all just be like, well, this is why, because other things that aren't my fault.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a, I think it's just an overall problem on the show.
It is. And then it just makes me mad. And then it makes me mad when she uses the evil queen as an intimidation tactic. Like, do you know who you're speaking to? I'm still the evil queen. I'm like, oh, wait, so you're the evil queen when you need to intimidate someone, but when you have to own up to your crap, it's not you. Just,
yeah, that it's just, it's kind of backwards, and
like, I would like her so much more if they would just have her own up to it. Like, I get, like you said, like, me, like, when being the evil queen.
Yeah, like, when they were in Neverland, and, like, that whole thing where they were, like, tied to the tree, and she said, you know what, I don't regret doing those things, because it brought me here, it brought me Henry, like, that was, like, the most honest she's ever been. And I was like, okay, like, if you're gonna admit that, and you're gonna own it, like, that's fine, and now you're gonna work to be better, like, that's cool.
Exactly. And then they backtracked on it.
And then it was like, just kidding, now it's like, oh, everyone's stealing my happiness from me, and it's, like, never my fault, and I'm like, oh my god, like,
yeah, it just, it, I agree.
Like, I want to like Regina, and I want to, like, root for her, but then, like, every time I think I'm going to, they just, like, shift it
butcher away. Her sometimes.
And I'm like, oh, like, you were so close, I was so close to being like, yes, Regina, I'm on this path with you, and then it just gets taken away.
And I'm worried, I'm very worried the same thing's gonna happen with Selena, because I love Selena as the Wicked Witch. I don't like her being this, like, friendly sister, like, woo, I'm gonna move in and, like, wear a side braid and, like, mom clothes. Like, no, you're the Wicked Witch. And
I know,
she always says how much she loves being wicked, and it's like, then be wicked.
The biggest thing is, like, she's gonna, like, think that she got, like, the things that she was looking for. Like, she has someone to love her unconditionally, she has, like, her, she had closure with her mother, like, she has a sister, but it's like, okay, but deep down, she really likes who she was. Like, she didn't, like, there was nothing about her that thought, oh, I need to be this good person. Like, she, I just don't understand. That's, like, I don't know, I guess we'll see how it plays out, but that's part of the reason why when they were, like, they brought her back, and then again, with, like, the speeding up everything, like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Zelina's now, like, she was the Wicked Witch, and, oh, literally, she was just with Hades 2 seconds ago, like, not even a week ago in the show's timeline, and now it's, like, all hunky-dory, like,
yeah,
oh, I'm just, we're gonna try and be sisters, like,
it just confuses me. And I hope the evil queen brings out evil wicked Zelina again, because I don't like her being nice. I like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, I feel like the way that this all played out was, like, she came in as, like, a big bad villain. She wasn't part of the original, like, set. And then, not even the original set, but just, like, it seems like more, like, when they brought her on, it wasn't meant to last. But then they decided after the fact.
Because she's a fan favorite.
Yeah. Oh, no, we really want her back because we love, you know, obviously, like, I love Rebecca Mader. She's awesome. And I love her, like, in her, like, when she's, like, the Wicked Witch and just in general. But it's more of, like, it's just story-wise, it's so confusing, because it's like, okay, yeah. So Zelina's back, and she did all these horrible things. She, like, tricked Robin into, like, impregnating her, and pretended to be somebody else, and killed his wife, and, like, all the things, and we're all just gonna forget about it, because, oh, when they were in the underworld, they had this, like, moment of remembrance, because they were sisters for 2 days when they were, like, kids.
That's
like,
what I'm saying, like, it just doesn't make sense, and I know we can't have everything on this show, but just a little bit consistency would be nice.
Just a little bit of consistency. Please. Great. I mean, like, or at least, like, things that make sense. Like,
yeah, like.
Like, development that makes sense and doesn't come out of nowhere. Like, oh, look. Like, I always bring it back to, like, as much as it's sucked as, like, a Captain Swan fan to have to sit through all of the drudge and all of the slow burn, I feel like now, like, it's believable. Like, mm-hmm. Their progress and everything about them is believable, but then there's other things on the show where they're like, well, this progression is going to take 2 seconds and we're just going to throw it in your face, and I'm like,
exactly.
Not so much. Yeah. Like, let's back up a little bit. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, this season, I guess, like, with the whole Zelina thing, they at least, she either goes full tilt, realizes that the sister that she wants is the evil queen, you know, break off of Regina, and then they, like, wreak havoc together, or then she actually really realizes, like, I was jealous for all these years for whatever reason, and all I really wanted was what I have now, and now I'm happy. Like, either, it has to go one way or the other. They can't, like, yo-yo between the two.
Like, so. Rumple yo-yos between everything.
Yeah, Rumple is the king of the yo-yo, so.
Which is one thing I did love about this episode, when Hyde's like, the Dark One traded the town, you gave me Storybrooke, and, like, no one batted an eye. No one was surprised. No one questioned it. They're like, okay.
The Dark One screwed us over again? Shocker.
Why is he still in town?
I mean, yeah, who let him back in? For real.
Cruella.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah. I'm excited to see where the season goes. I'm not overly hopeful for a lot of things. I don't know. I don't know where, like, I'm excited to see these untold stories.
Yes.
Because it opens it up to more than just Disney, so.
And I'm excited for more of a slow burn.
Yes.
So that the things that happen will feel believable. And they won't feel, like,
really rushed. Yeah.
They won't feel thrown in my face.
I don't want anything thrown at me this season, okay?
And this whole thing with Emma, like, that's going to be the thing that keeps me, regardless of whatever else happens. Like, I just feel like that's going to be the one thing that keeps my interest, because I'm, like, above everything is, like, Emma is my, like, number one reason for watching the show. So, I feel like I'm very invested in what happens to her. So, regardless of how everything else plays out, I will always be interested in that aspect.
Yeah.
So, hopefully things don't turn out terribly for me and for Emma.
Yeah, Emily, why don't you share with them your lovely theory that you texted me with the other night? Before we wrap it up.
I don't really remember. I know I said something about...
Yeah, I remember it, because it was really horrible. And it was, you know, they always say that Emma's gonna bring back the happy endings.
I remember.
And she's the one to bring back the happy endings. But they never said anything about her getting a happy ending. So what if she actually does die? And I'm just like, what the hell?
The preface to that was the rational side of my brain. So the rational side of me knows that that's never gonna happen. That was just a very dark back corner of my mind. That,
like,
knowing
I thought
how...
I was the angst queen, and then here comes Emily, just plowing over everything.
Adam and Eddie have been mega, I love them to death, but they have been mega trolls on all of us lately, so that was just like my, that was like, that's, I, that was how I thought that they would answer a question. If someone said, oh, well, why doesn't Emma get a happy ending? Their response would probably be like, well, technically we never said she could get a happy ending, we just said she was going to bring back everybody else's. So
that is a total Adam and Ed response.
I was channeling the trolliness of their, like, way that they throw people's answers back in their face when they don't want to reveal things. So that's really all that was. I really don't think that that's what's going to happen. I just was like, well.
I mean, the angsty part of me is like, yeah, let's do it.
If we go based on their logic, that's what they would say. But then they would say, but it's a show about hope, so you really shouldn't be worried. And I'm like, okay, well.
Do you think they're gonna go after Robin? Because they were like, oh, I don't believe what Hades said.
No, I don't. I, just based on what I've, you know, read, because I read, like, every interview that ever happens.
And I read nothing.
Is they, I think... from what I've gotten is that they've closed the book on him for good. Like, I don't think that there is going to be any chance of them chasing him. They're not going to try and go back to the underworld or something to, like, find him, or they're not going to try and, like, reach out, you know, with some, like, how they did with Korra, like, summon his soul or something. Like, I just don't see that happening at all. They seemed like they were pretty final about it.
Yeah, but I just don't like the way they worded that. Like,
that his soul is, like, obliterated? Yeah, it was kind of
That, and the fact that Regina and Henry are like, well, I don't believe that. I think he's still out there somewhere. He's at peace.
I think that was just more like... of, when they say he's still out there, I think they meant more of that he is in a better place. I don't think that they were trying to say that he's in some limbo land. Like, I think they're saying he died a true hero, so that means that he, like how Neil, when Emma was on the way to the underworld, he said, oh, I'm in a better place, I'm happy, because if no standards, Neil died a true hero, he sacrificed himself to save everyone else, so Robin did the same thing. So by that theory, if his soul is still intact somewhere, that would mean that he just passes on automatically, and he had nothing to hold him back. So yeah. I think that's what they meant by that, is that he's unaccessible to them, but he's happy and is not just, like, gone forever, is what they meant by that, I think.
Alright, I'll buy that. I'll take it. Alright, I think that about wraps it up. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that we missed?
Nope, just the fact that when Emma came back to Granny's, that Hook had two glasses of alcohol waiting, and he passed her the one with less in it. So
he did! I saw that, I was like, me. That
mean.
Is me.
Mean.
No, not mean, me, as in I would do that.
Oh. I mean also, because, I mean, but let's be honest, his tolerance is probably way higher than hers, so he needs a little bit more to take the edge off.
Exactly.
But yeah, other than that, no, that was it.
All right, guys, be sure to check out our website for more recaps, interviews, and news at thevro.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at thevro. We are on Instagram and Tumblr at Variety Radio Online, and we are also on Audioboom. And Emily will have her blog up at some point, right?
Short.
Yeah.
By the time you're listening to this, it'll be up, I assume.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye.